We're going to be turning back now to our morning series. We're now into our third week of it, looking at the I Am statements of Jesus in John's Gospel. And so far we've explored the weight and the theological weight behind those words as Jesus keeps saying, I am, I am, I am. Then we looked at I am the bread of life, and we saw the meaning and the symbolism behind that for who Jesus was and what he had come to do. Last week we looked at Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, and we saw the symbolism and the meaning behind that and the richness in that statement as to who Jesus was and what he had come to do. Well, this week we're turning to our third one, and we're going to turn to John chapter 10, and we're going to explore what Jesus means about his person and his work as he says to those listening, I am the door, or I am the gate, depending on your translation. Jesus, he stands up and he says, I am the door. I am the door. I'm going to read about that now in John chapter 10 and verses 1 to 10. John 10, verses 1 to 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. His figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We'll end our reading there at verse 10 of John 10. And just before we come to look at this passage, let's pray again and ask for God's help as we look at it together. Father, we need you this morning. We need the help of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would take your word, Lord, and you would pierce our hearts with it. You may challenge us and encourage us and teach us and change us as you apply your word by your Spirit to our hearts. We need you now, Lord. We ask for your help, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the imagery of sheep and shepherd are still very vivid today, particularly in an agricultural part of the world like Northern Ireland or Ireland, just as it was in Jesus' day. Maybe not just as much, but we still know the imagery behind sheep. We know the imagery behind a shepherd. And over the next two Sundays, that imagery of sheep and shepherd, particularly in the Middle Eastern mindset that Jesus' hearers would have understood as he teaches them, it's going to form the backdrop of the two I am statements that Jesus makes together here in John chapter 10. They come in quick succession. He says, first of all, I am the door, or I am the gate. And then he says, I am the good shepherd. And it's vital that we understand the shepherding world at the time of Jesus if we're going to get to grips with what Jesus means when he says those statements. So what did shepherding look like at the time of Jesus? Well, it didn't really look like shepherding today. What do we do today? Well, farmers have sheep and they put them in allotted fields and they close the gate and they come and go while doing other duties, but the sheep stay in allocated fields for a long period of time. Now, I know in some places they wander the hillside a little bit, but the majority of the time they're in enclosures, they're in fields with fences. It's a little different in the time of Jesus. You had shepherds then who were constantly with their sheep, constantly leading the sheep wherever they were to go. And they would have traveled over large distances with the sheep, looking for pasture, looking for sustenance. Today, our farmers tend to drive the sheep. They're behind the sheep, and they're pushing the sheep forward, and they're funneling them in a certain direction. In Jesus' day, the shepherd went ahead of the sheep. And the shepherd would call the sheep and use distinctive names for different sheep or distinctive names for what he wanted the sheep to do. And the sheep followed the voice of the shepherd and they followed along behind. And what you tended to have in towns or in parts of the countryside, whether they were built by shepherds or they were built by third parties, you had things called sheepfolds. Sheepfolds. These were walled structures with only one way in and one way out. So at night or at other times of bad weather, maybe the sheep were led into the sheepfold by the shepherd through the one way in, and they were safe in there to feed and to rest and to have shelter. And it seems that many of these sheepfolds had been established as businesses in and of themselves. The sheepfolds were ran independently from the shepherds. A shepherd could bring his flock and could lead his flock through the entryway into the sheepfold, and then he could leave his sheep in there and exit the sheepfold for a rest or a break or a sleep, and the entrance to the sheepfold would be guarded by a gatekeeper. He left his sheep safe in the sheepfold, guarded by the gatekeeper, and he went off. And this seems to be the illustration that Jesus has in mind here in John 10, verse 10, when he says, "I am the door." Look at verse 3. It says, "To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." There's an independent gatekeeper in charge of the gate or the door into the sheepfold, and he is looking. The shepherd can come and go. Then after a while, of course, the shepherd would return. He would enter through the door or the gate, having been granted access by the gatekeeper, and he would call out to his sheep. As there might have been multiple flocks within the sheepfold, and all they'd all become mixed together, and the shepherd would have to call out his sheep out of the sheepfold. And only his sheep would hear his voice. Only his sheep would recognize his voice, and only his sheep would follow him. The other flocks wouldn't. That's the background that Jesus' audience would have understood as Jesus teaches them here and makes this statement in verse 7 and verse 9, "I am the door," or "I am the gate." And we need to keep this background in mind as we seek to understand what Jesus means when he says that here this morning. I just want to pick up on three things briefly this morning. Firstly, that we're confused until we see it as complementary. We're confused until we see it as complementary. Secondly, I want us to see and recognize the thieves and the robbers. And thirdly, I want us to see the symbolism of the door. So firstly, we are confused until we see it as complementary. We're confused until we see it as complementary. In John chapter 10, as I've said, we have these two "I am" statements of Jesus in quick succession. Bam, bam, we have them here. Verse 9, we have "I am the door." Verse 11, we have "I am the good shepherd." Right after each other, these two huge statements by Jesus. And that can lead to our understanding of chapter 10 becoming quite muddled and confused, particularly if we give in to the temptation to try and draw out meaning and application from every little bit or part of a parable or an illustration. And that's been done in the past over church history, and it's made things very confusing. Jesus is using the illustration of sheep, shepherd, sheepfold as a teaching aid, with broad meanings. And in this teaching aid, we have sheep, we have shepherd, we have sheepfold, we have door or gate. And one minute Jesus is saying, I am the door. And he explains and talks about the shepherd and the sheep going through and in and out of the door. So he's the door. We read that here in verse 3. It says, to him the gatekeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So in one breath he's saying, I'm the door. The shepherd and the sheep come in and out through me. In the next breath, he's saying he's the good shepherd. How can Jesus be both the door and the shepherd who goes in and out through the door? Confusion can reign, particularly if we try to take every part of this teaching aid as literal. So what is Jesus doing here? How do we make sure we don't get confused? Well, Jesus is using a general illustration from everyday life, and he's using it to teach certain truths about him, about his identity and his work, like he's doing in all the I am statements that he makes. But Jesus can apply multiple truths to himself. Jesus both saves the sheep and leads the sheep. Jesus is both the door or the gate, and he's also the shepherd. We don't need to get too bogged down with the illustration. We need to see the truths that the illustration is trying to teach us. And both those truths complement in the person of Christ. He is both salvation and he is the one who leads his people. The truths that both those images of shepherd and gate are fulfilled in him. Leon Morris puts it this way. He says, there are two ways of viewing him, as the door and as the good shepherd, and he deals with them successively. You see, chapter 10 is confusing until we see it as complementary. These two truths, Jesus being the gate or the door, being the one who saves, and Jesus being the good shepherd, the one who leads his people, they're complementary. They're both true about Jesus, and they go hand in hand. And Jesus is conveying these truths through everyday illustrations which complement each other in the identity and the work of Jesus. That's how he can be both the door and the shepherd who goes in and out of the door. It's not about the door. It's not about the imagery of the shepherd. It's about the truth that that is teaching. And both those things, those truths, complement each other in Jesus. So we can be confused until we see them as complementary. Secondly, we need to recognize the thieves and the robbers. We need to recognize the thieves and the robbers. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't start this section talking about the gate or the door or talking about the shepherd or even talking about the sheep. He starts off this section talking about the thieves and the robbers who attack the sheep. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Thieves and robbers would not be permitted by the gatekeeper, so they cannot enter by the door. No, they covertly go round the side of the sheepfold and they scale the wall. They sneak up and climb up over the wall and into the sheepfold. And their intentions are not good. Jesus describes their intentions in verse 10. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. There are thieves and robbers out there who want to get at the sheep, and they are wanting to destroy them. But they are strangers. And when their voice is heard in the sheepfold, the true sheep will not follow them. Look at verse 5. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And that's where Jesus begins. He begins with the thieves, and he begins with the robbers. He begins with the strangers. He begins with those who come to steal and destroy the sheep, those who break into the sheepfold and do not come in through the door. And he starts with the thieves and the robbers because his teaching is carrying on from what has just happened in the narrative of John's gospel. He is teaching about being the door in light of his interaction with the Pharisees over the healing of the blind man in John chapter 9. Leon Morris points out here that where we read there in verse 1, truly, truly, Jesus never uses truly, truly to introduce a new section, a new teaching. No, it's always introduced to carry on from what he's just been teaching and give a further layer to it. So the start of chapter 10 is carrying on from what has happened in chapter 9. And as Jesus finishes his discussion with the Pharisees, he then begins to talk about the thieves and the robbers. And of course, his application is that the very Pharisees and religious leaders that he's just been having dealings with, they are the ones who are the thieves and the robbers that he's talking about here in John chapter 10. See, in chapter 9, there'd been a man who had been blind from birth. And that man had met Jesus. And Jesus had healed him and made him be able to see. And that blind man who'd been healed was then brought to the religious leaders. And of course, it was a healing that had been done on the Sabbath. And the religious leaders, in their spiritual blindness, they cannot see this amazing miracle. All they can see is Jesus breaking their rules. And they use it as an excuse to designate Jesus a sinner. And there's a disagreement. Some are saying, how can this man be a sinner and do things like this, make blind people see? Many of them don't believe the man until they call his parents, and his parents are cagey with them. They don't want to get on the wrong side of the Pharisees, because we read in chapter 9, verse 34, this. Earlier on we read how in verse 22 his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. If you confess Jesus, you're out of here. Excommunicated, we don't want any more to do with you. So his parents just put it back on the blind man. He can answer for himself. We're not getting involved here. And so they question the man again. And the healed man shows them up for their ignorance and their arrogance and their folly. This blind man who's just been healed, showing up the religious leaders of Israel. And we read their reaction to him in verse 34. They answered him, "You were born in utter sin. And would you teach us?" And they cast him out. And Jesus comes to this man at the end of chapter 9 after he's been cast out by these religious leaders. And this man comes to faith in Christ and worships him. And that's the background, that's the context as Jesus begins chapter 10 and begins to speak about the thieves and the robbers. They're the ones who don't enter by the door. They're the strangers that the sheep don't listen to. They're the ones who steal and kill and destroy. They're the religious leaders of the time. They've just illustrated what a thief and a robber looks like in how they have treated that healed man. They've just denied and poured scorn on Jesus and his work in order to further their legalism and their control. They've just scoffed and belittled this man in their self-righteousness and their pride. They've just kicked him out of the synagogue like a piece of dirt on their shoe. Who is he, a sinner, to lecture them? Yet this man hadn't listened to them. He'd believed and he'd followed the shepherd. He'd come to faith in Christ. See, the behavior of these Pharisees that Jesus describes as a thief or a robber here in chapter 10 is such an echo of the judgments of the Old Testament on the religious and political leaders of Israel. Their constant failure to carry out their role as shepherds to God's people. They hadn't looked after the sheep. They'd neglected and wounded and killed the sheep. Listen to Jeremiah 23, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds." We go over to Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 to 4. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus say the Lord God, "Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the stray you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." Jesus here in chapter 10 is warning of the thieves and the robbers, the field leaders, the self-appointed messiahs, the power-hungry legalists, the Pharisees of his time who were carrying on like those he had done it before in the Old Testament. They had not gone through the gate of God's salvation that snuck in over the wall, and they were wounding and they were stealing and they were killing the sheep. Bruce Milner puts it this way. He says, "The Pharisees' treatment of the formerly blind man in verse 34 is not simply an expression of their personal blindness. It also represents a grievous dereliction of duty on their part. They were meant to be the shepherds, but they were behaving like the thieves and the robbers." And Jesus calls them out here in chapter 10. And this has been included in John's gospel as the teaching of Jesus. It's been inspired by the Spirit of God, because just like there were thieves and robbers in the Old Testament who were meant to be shepherds, just like there were thieves and robbers in the religious leaders at the time of Jesus, there are still thieves and robbers today. Those who try to climb over the wall and wound and kill the sheep. Those who don't go through the door, those who don't know Christ, those who aren't converted, and they're there to steal, they're there to wound, and they're there to kill, just like the Pharisees were doing at the time of Jesus. And the reality is, there are many across our world who claim to follow Christ. They sneak into the church. They climb stealthily into leadership. They sneak their way into preaching positions. Ministries, TV shows, books, music. And they cause havoc among the sheep as they maim and they wound and they seek to kill gospel life in the sheep. And you know what? They may attack and wound the sheep, but the sheep will not follow them. True sheep only follow the voice of the shepherd, and they flee from strangers. They flee from the thieves and the robbers. And this passage is a challenge to each of us this morning as we apply this to our lives all these years later in 2020. It's a challenge to those of us in the church, particularly those of us who teach in the church and have leadership in the church. Have we entered by the gates? Have we come to saving faith through Christ? If we haven't, then we're not a shepherd, we're a thief or a robber. As sheep, we need to have our ears open. We need to hold those who teach us and those who lead us accountable. The preachers you listen to or watch online, the musicians you listen to, the books you read about Christianity. There are thieves and there are robbers out there, and we need to be on our guard. But we also need to be confident true sheep will not follow the voice of a stranger. They'll be in tune with the voice of their shepherd, and they'll follow him, and they'll flee from strangers. Jesus is teaching us here when he says, I am the door, to recognize the thieves and the robbers. Thirdly and finally, we see the symbolism of the door. The symbolism of the door. In the sheepfolds of old, only the shepherd and the sheep entered by the door or the gate. And as those sheep go through the door, they go to a place of rest, a place of safety, a place of sustenance. Listen to verses 9 and 10. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says, I am the door. I'm the one you have to go through. I'm the one you have to enter by. I'm the one who saves you. You see, to be part of God's flock, to feed on his everlasting pasture, to be eternally safe in his sheepfold, Jesus is telling us here, as he tells us in other passages, there's only one way in. You need to go through the door. There's only one way to be saved. You need to go through Jesus Christ, he who is the eternal Son of God, he who is the I Am. You need to trust in what he's done through his death on the cross for our sin and his resurrection to defeat death and hell and to give us spiritual life in him. He's the door. He's the gate, and he's the only gate, the only door, and by faith his sheep go in. And once in that fold, once part of that flock, the good shepherd knows his sheep individually, and he calls to them individually, and they know his voice, and they follow only him. That's what he's come to do. That's who he is. Salvation is through him. It's in him. And in that salvation is abundant life, eternal pasture, everlasting safety. Sin forgiven, guilt taken away, the power of the sinful nature dethroned on our hearts, a new life in being born again, a relationship with God the Father, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit within us to help us live the Christian life, being part of the family of God in the Church of Christ, both universal and experienced locally in a local body of his people. The experience of joy, the experience of strength in trials, the experience of grace every day, even in weakness. Abundant life in him. His sheep, those who enter through the door of Jesus Christ, they have abundant life. And that's what Jesus is teaching when he says, I am the door. And as we come to a close this morning, that's the question I want to leave with each of us. Have you entered through the door? Have you come to that place in your life where you've seen who Jesus is, you've seen what he's done for you, and you have come humbly and repentantly to the cross and owned up to your sin and trusted in him and entered into salvation? Have you been saved? Have you turned from an old life and experienced a new one? Do you have abundant life this morning? Because if you don't, you can't enter. You're still outside. And if that's you this morning, come to him. See your sin, see your failure, but see his love and his salvation. And put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Enter through the door and enjoy abundant life in him. To those of us who have entered by the door, to those of us who do know him, are we listening and following the voice of our shepherd every day? Are we on our guard for the thieves and the robbers who come to wound us? And will we flee from them and follow our shepherd? That's what Jesus requires of us. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these wonderful words of Jesus. We thank you that you have opened up a way. There's a door to eternal life. And I pray, O Lord, this morning that anyone listening to this, if they haven't gone through that door, that even this morning you would speak by your Holy Spirit and you would bring them through that door of Christ, that they would trust in him and be saved. Father, to those of us who know you, help us to keep following our shepherd. Help us to keep listening to his voice. And Father, protect us and help us to recognize the thieves and the robbers. Lord, take your word this morning. Bless it to us. Help us to apply it to our lives where you've placed us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.